Today I will confess and believe that Jesus Christ was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. All right, praise the Lord. All right, we're going to go ahead today. We're doing a message that we started last week that was called Imaginations. And today we're going to do a message. We're just going to continue. It's going to be Imaginations Part 2. And in this particular message, I want to spend some time dealing a little bit more with this concept of imagination. And we're going to start in the book of Jeremiah today. That's going to be our scriptures in Jeremiah. And then we're going to go to James chapter 1. And then I got a few reference scriptures after that, but we're going to deal with those when we get to them. So we're going to go to Jeremiah chapter 18. We're going to read verse 1 through 12. I'm excited about everything God does, y'all. I mean, I told Sister Laura, if you think about, our software and everything that we had back at the church prior to, and I found this to be the case in my life with the ministry especially, and even in my personal life, when things start crashing and doing crazy things, God is opening a door. He's trying to get you to look at something. And so, we went out and we looked at some different software for the church to be able to produce our presentations and all. And we basically ended up with a very good cloud-based software so that now we can pick up and go anywhere and are able to update our presentations, get everything ready to rock and roll without having to go to the church or to even bring the computer from the church necessary to do that. All we need to do is to make sure that we've got the software loaded onto the computer that we're going to be using. And it's just grand. I'm so excited about that because we did not have that capability last year. All right, so we're going to go ahead with Jeremiah chapter 18. We're going to begin at verse 1. It says, "The word of the Lord, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house." We're not talking about in Dallas. "And there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do this with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in mine hand, O house of Israel. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I have thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, when I will repent, I will then repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Now therefore go speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return you now unto me, every one of you, from your evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. And they said, There is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will, every one, do the imagination of his evil heart." All right, go with me now to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And we're going to look at verse 13 through 15. Let me get there. James 1, 13 through 15. Okay, here we go. "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." All right, let's pray. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you again for the opportunity to come together as a family of God. We thank you for the word of God. And we ask today that you would lead us and guide us into your truth and let the word speak to us clearly that we might hear what you are saying to us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, praise the Lord. Okay, you all, we said that we were dealing with part two of this message, Imaginations. Now, last week, you know, I read some scriptures to you out of Genesis, and we'll look at a few of those again. But we talked about how God destroyed earth with the flood and man, because the Bible says that his heart was continually on evil, period. That's what we saw. So in Genesis 6, I'm going to put that back up. Genesis 6, 5 through 6, we saw this. The Bible says that God, in speaking to about man at that time, let me get over there, Genesis 6, verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And then God said, I will destroy man. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. All right, so let's talk about this. Let's think through what we said last week. We said that there came a point in time where God looked down and he says that all man does. Let's put that one scripture back up for me, if you don't mind. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So God says when he looked down, he saw basically that that's all we had. But he uses and he talks about imagination. And when you look at the imagination, I said to you that this is a part of the psyche of man, the way God has designed man. Your imagination is a real thing. It's not something, although you can't see it, no different than you can't see thoughts. Your imagination functions in line with your thoughts. It's almost like having a door with hinges on it. You know, when you have a door, hinges cause the door to swing. And without hinges, the door won't swing and you can't even stand it up. But you could have a door, but the hinges help. Well, the imagination is also the same way. It's like you have thoughts, which could be the door, or the imagination, the hinges. It doesn't matter how you choose to look at it. The point is they work hand in glove. They work together, because everything that we end up doing eventually must come through our imagination. All of the vision, everything that people have done. You think about flying, you know, the Wright brothers, you know, when they flew, they had to think of it. They saw a bird flying and then they began to have thoughts that, guess what? Maybe we could do this. All we got to do is come up with a way to get it done. And so as they began to think about it, and the word, their imagination, also in the Hebrew, can stand for things like purposes. And this is why people need to understand, when I talked to you about purposes before, I said that many times people will look and say, well, you know, God has purposes for man, and when you were young, that you had a purpose and all that. And I said, the reality, though, is that if you look at it, God makes it clear that from people's youth, it's just not right. Look at Genesis chapter 8. I'm going to go to Genesis chapter 8, and I want to look at two verses. This is right before Noah, after Noah comes off of the ark, and God, this is Genesis chapter 8, verse 20. Let me see if I can get over there. And let's look at this together. This is what he says. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Now I'm going to go back and look at verse 21, and I want you to look at something there at verse 21. Look at what he says. He says, and the Lord smelled the sweet savor. And when the Lord, after Noah built the ark, the altar, after the ark has come to rest on Mount Ararat, the ark has come to rest. They now come off the ark, and Noah builds God an altar and offers him a sacrifice. And the Bible says that God smelled the sacrifice. It was a sweet savor. But then he said he wouldn't curse the earth ground anymore for man's sake. And then he tells you why. It's not going to work. He says, look, from the time man is, from his youth, his imagination is set on evil. Now, I want you to think about where we were last week, okay? Now, last week, I told you, or a couple weeks ago, we started talking about purpose. And, you know, there may be one, you know, some people that don't agree with what I'm saying about this. You know, they want to say, oh, no, from the time they were a child, God gave you a purpose. And folks, all I'm telling you is that let's stick to the Bible. I mean, the Bible, God says plainly that, you know, men's heart from the time of their youth, their imagination is on evil. Now, I want you to think about something. Evil in God's sight is not just what we like to list in some of our thought processes, but anytime we are not willing to follow the will of God, that's considered evil. So until we reach a point even where we understand that our true salvation can only come through Christ, you know, we're lost. That's what the Bible says. We're lost in the world without God. So God is not around, you know, giving us purposes from the time we're born and we just got to find him and all that. What we need to find is Jesus. Find Jesus so that ultimately you can escape the damnation to come. That's what's really important, right? Now, that's not a popular message, I understand, out there in the world. But I tell you what, the message that I have and I keep saying that comes through this word will preach anywhere. Right now, today, we could go to New York and we can talk to these people about holding on to Jesus. We could talk to these people about though the earth be moved and though the floods come and though things happen and though you lose everything. Or, you know, I was listening to some person and saying, you know, they had built their whole life around something and it was all lost in like 1 or 2 hours. It was all gone. The flash flood came in and washed, in their words, their life away. Well, it really didn't wash your life away. It washed your possessions away that you might have invested your life in. And this is why Jesus said a person's life does not consist in the abundance of things they possess. You see, that's the gospel we preach. Now, don't get me wrong. If all you know is prosperity and God gonna bless you and blessing means you gotta have everything, when these kind of times come, you can't reconcile that God. It doesn't make any sense. If anything, you end up angry at him because you don't understand why he let this happen to you. When the Bible says this is happening to the earth because God has an ultimate plan, which is to bring Jesus back. And what you see then, I'm going to go back to the book of Jeremiah. And I want to look at when Jeremiah started talking to these folks. What Jeremiah says is God told him, I want you to go down to the potter's house. Okay. And he says, I want you to see something. And if you look at verse 4, it says, and the vessel that the potter had in his hand was made of clay, but it was marred. There was something wrong with it. So he made it again into another vessel. In other words, the potter is making this vessel and he realizes there's something wrong with it. And what does he do? He smashes it. All you got to do is go watch a potter do something and he smashes it. And then what happens? He makes a new vessel, as it seems good to the potter to make it. See, so in other words, when God looks at us in our lives and we first come to him, God's like, look, your heart has been on evil. Your imagination, which is your process of thinking about how you see things, where you're going, how you project your life, that imagination, God says, for man is continually on evil from his youth. So now that I get, God looks at me, he says, I want you to realize this is like a potter's wheel. And so the potter has a vessel. And as he's doing it, he says, I'm the potter, you the clay. And so he finds a mar in you. You can't, Jesus said, look, we all are marred. He said, look, you cannot come to heaven, okay, lest you be born again. All right, so we find this mar of imperfection and bam. And then what? He remakes it into what he wants it to be. Not what we want to be, but into what he wants it to be. If you've been keeping up with your reading in the scriptures, you'll see where Paul said in Galatians, I am crucified with Christ. He said, nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. He said, and the life that I now live, I live for the glory of the Son of God who gave his life for me. Paul said, look, my life is hid with God in Christ. He says, I'm not even alive anymore. And I don't think people get it. And so what they end up doing is they're spending all their life trying to find their life when Jesus said, he that seeks to save his life will lose it. He that loses his life for my sake will find it. That's where eternal life is. So Jeremiah says basically what happens is God smashes this thing and then God begins to talk to him about how this process works. And so let's look at it a little bit. He says, O house of Israel, in verse 6, he says, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in mine. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom. Now listen to this now, to pluck it up or to pull it down or to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I have thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning to build it up and to plant it. If it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good whereof I said I would benefit them. So God then lays out two things for us. One, he says that I want you to understand something, people. Y'all better listen. He says, Lord, I talk about this all the time. Y'all better listen. I'm not saying you don't, because you're on there, you must be listening. But just listen to me. God, people keep talking about how God, I don't believe God would do this and I don't believe God would do that. The way you are protected from delusion and the way you are protected from getting in trouble is by knowing the word of God. Many times we'll say, well, I believe, or I think, or I feel. I got that. What does the word say? The God of the Bible says, we are like clay in the potter's hand, and I am the potter. If I find a maw in the clay, I'll crush it and make a new one. And that's why some people keep getting crushed, because every time God finds something, bam, he's going to start over again, going to keep working. He's going to keep working until he gets some vessel out of it that he wants. He's not going to take a marred vessel. Simple as that, right? So we have to figure out quickly, what does the Father want, and start doing it. So here all of a sudden we find ourselves in a position where God says to them, I want y'all to understand my process. See, it's not hard. God's like, look, this ain't hard. Here's my process. When I say I'm going to destroy a nation, it happens, okay? I mean, I'm just going to do it. I mean, nothing you can do to stop it. You can shake your fist all you want, bring out all the weapons you got. You can do whatever you want. When I decree that a nation will be destroyed, I'm going to destroy it. He said, but if that nation, you see right there, look at verse 8. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. But then he says on the flip side, there's some out there that I've pronounced good on. I'm going to build you up and build your nation up and all that. He says, but you know what? If it turns out, verse 9, what instance I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, and it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then will I repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. So now God gives us his process. And folks, if you think about it, it's really not that difficult to see. It's very simple. Process, if I say I'm going to destroy you, I'm going to destroy you unless you repent and turn back. If I say I'm going to benefit you, I'll benefit you unless you start doing evil stuff, and then I'm going to turn around and destroy you. Now, that's simple. So all we need to know is what's good and what's evil. But look at the world today. Just look at it. I mean, we are in a situation now where literally when you start talking about people calling good evil and evil good, it's there it is out there right in front of you. I mean, and God has not changed his mind on how he handles things. So when God says that we're doing evil, it doesn't matter that he had a pronouncement on your life that was good. He's going to wreak havoc in a situation. Now, I just think if people would just look at the United States and look at what's been happening recently over the last, I don't know, give it 10, 15 years of how the nation is turning, what we're believing, what we're not believing, how we treat God and all that. And I don't have to get into specifics. Everybody is wise enough to know the stuff I'm talking about, the things you've been out there, you're watching it. And as these things keep turning, look at how things are also turning so negative for the country. You know, everything from the standpoint of these viruses, you know, the economics, poverty and so many things that are going on, all the stuff that's going on outside the country where they're talking about, like with Afghanistan, it hadn't been, you know, we didn't all but got run out of the country. And the same people that, you know, we're negotiating with were the people we were bombing several years ago. And we're running out of the country when they tell us we got to leave by a certain date. And it's like, what? That never was the case. No one told the United States. I mean, the Bible used to refer to us like it did Babylon, not the Bible, but people like Babylon. They were like, the United States is like a hammer on the earth. I mean, you don't mess with those people, but these people don't seem to have a problem telling us to get out of there. And now they've declared that the Chinese are their helpers. Folks, I'm telling you, if we don't pay attention, we got to see what's happening. God is giving this nation, I think, time to make choices and determinations. But instead, we are like driving the train straight off the cliff. You turn the TV on and you see all kind of things you've never seen before. People are involved in all kind of activities they've never been involved before. And everybody's calling good evil and evil good. So that if you're trying to speak what's right, people call it now getting canceled or whatever the case might be. But, you know, I'm not saying you need to speak to everything, but I'm saying that these are things that you see going on. And you have to realize that God has told us how this works. So all we got to do is keep ourselves in that lane with God, because even in a place where a nation starts getting decimated and things happening, God can preserve his people. In many places, God says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I'll receive you to myself. God can keep you in the midst of all that trouble. All right. So now I want to go now to what he now tells these people, and I want to tie it to this lesson on imagination. In verse 11, he says this: now therefore go speak to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you. So in other words, God is telling them now, he gave them his process, and he's saying, now y'all got evil framed against you and devise a device against you. And then he tells them to do what he's already told them to do. Therefore, return you now, one, from your evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. But then he tells us what they say. Instead, they say, well, there's no hope. In other words, God, why are we looking to God? There's no hope in God, because that's what Jeremiah and people were telling him. It's God. No, but we're going to walk after our own devices. We're going to do the imagination of our own evil heart. So in other words, God has told you the process. He done said to you, when I tell you I'm coming and I'm going to destroy you, I'm going to do it. But I need you to turn from what you're doing in your evil ways. Instead, they say there's no hope in God. I mean, God, what you talking about? You know, we ain't believing that. Have you heard that before? That sounds exactly like what you're hearing now. Oh, all that God stuff y'all doing. Y'all praying. You don't need to be praying. You praying too much. Prayer ain't helping. Y'all need to change things. It's climate change. And I'm like, and I keep telling people, I'm not going to sit here and debate about climate change, but I will say this. When somebody tells me, we haven't had this much rain, I saw it on the Weather Channel, New York City has not had this much rain since 1877. Okay. Well, what'd that tell you? They've had that much rain before. The climate couldn't have changed. It might have just took a long time for it to come back around, but it's obvious they've had that much rain before. The problem is people forget things. See, you go from generation to generation and people tend to forget. They don't remember anything. Well, nobody's around from 1877. What we're dealing with now is a group of people up there in New York City who really think it's okay to live in the Big Apple, live like they live, do what they do. You had a whole bunch of people out there in the streets protesting and tearing down stuff and on Manhattan doing all kind of things. And you know, you got craziness going on. And then you don't expect sooner or later that things might happen some kind of way. I mean, and sure enough, look at what we're looking at. And then the first thing we yell is climate change. And I'm thinking, why we yell, man, we might need to change. You know, the nation, we need to change. We might want to think about what we're doing right now and make a change, because we ain't seen this much rain since 1877. See, anytime they come, and this is what I keep telling people, anytime somebody comes back and says, we have not seen this since, then it means it's happened. Like Solomon said, there's no new thing under the sun. It's just the fact that, I mean, all you got to do is go back to Genesis and you'll see the whole earth been flooded before. Figure that one out. You know, maybe you got a few cities here, there, and it's hurting us. But the reality is at least the whole United States ain't flooded. But people don't believe that. No, God, that don't happen. But then all of a sudden floods come out of nowhere. They said there were people literally drowned in their cars, people. And that's sad. That you are sitting in traffic in your car and you can't get out, and the waters rise so fast that your life is over in your car. I mean, it's sad. It's just sad. But people don't understand how fast destruction can come. And God is trying to get us to understand he's not doing it. God's just saying when he purposes, though, to back away, The devil's always ready to accommodate destruction. Jesus said, Satan comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. God said, I have come that you might have life. But instead, he says, people in their imagination, they come up with their own decisions. See in verse 12, and they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart. So in other words, instead of doing what God tells you to do, you imagine what you need to do. And your imagination is fueling a vision that's against God. See, folks, it's important, and we're going to talk about this next week. It's important for you to get your imagination under control. So you have to start learning how to focus and know, wait a minute, your thoughts are toying with your imagination, see, which is causing you to have evil thoughts and evil ways. In other words, say, for instance, like with the hurricane, I said this and other things that happen. God does not want you living in fear. All right. I went on my patio the night of the hurricane. And I have two huge trees behind my house, or three actually. And I watched those trees literally in the wind, that they were bending. And then they would rise back up like they were bowing, and they would bend again. And I was back there on my patio praying. And I said, God, you said, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be cast in the sea, you are watching over us. And I would watch that tree bend, and it looked like it just wanted to break so bad. And I said, you're not coming down like that. And I was just sat down there, kept believing God and kept saying it. And people can say I'm crazy, say what you want. But you know what? When it was over, those trees basically rested on my fence and never broke. And then the third tree cracked and collapsed, but it fell in a spot that it looked like it had been placed there on purpose. Had any of those trees fallen the way they should have or could have, they'd have destroyed at least the fence for sure and all of that and come down and put all kind of other stuff going on. Still probably wouldn't have reached the house quite, but it just would have been a whole different story. But I knew, God, you're good. And although this wind is coming through here, you control all of this. But I know it's got to blow. I'm not going to stand here and say it ain't going to blow. But I know what? It can blow. And when it's over, it does not have to destroy that which is a part of my life. But God, I'm telling you, God tells us plainly that we have to understand, if we make a decision, though, that somehow, oh, we can control this stuff. We got this. That in and of itself is evil, you all. Or had I been out there, the Bible says you don't want to have an evil heart of unbelief. An evil heart of unbelief. All right. So in other words, I'm standing there and the whole time I'm going, man, there's no hope. This ain't going to work. I don't know why God letting this happen. Folks, that's losing heart in God. Even if you're seeing what looks like destruction around you, you got to be careful what you start to think. Okay. Because if it had come through the fence, I'd have to say, okay, God, I don't know what's going on, but you know what? You good anyway. And I know that there's something going on that you want me to learn from what just happened. But the bottom line is, I'm not going to fear. I can't fear, and I got to keep speaking the word of God, because that is where it is. See, if I allow my imagination, though, to get the best of me, now all of a sudden I start coming up with reasons why God is letting this happen to me and reasons why this. All of that is coming from evil thoughts about God. See, that's why you got to get in the word enough to know, what does God say, okay, about his word? And what does God say about himself? And when you understand it, you realize what's going on, and you just stand on the word. Now, I want to go to Deuteronomy 29, and I'm going to show you here exactly the same thing that God was talking to the Israelites. Now, they come out of Egypt, and God is saying to them already he was going to bless them, right? And in the process, they are now, Moses has told them what God expects. And in 29, we'll begin at verse 16. Now, here's God talking to him. He says, for you know how we have dwelt in the land of Egypt, and how we came through the nations which ye pass by. And ye have seen their abominations and their idols, wood and stone, silver and gold, which were among them. Lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God, to go and serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. And it come to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of mine heart, to add drunkenness to thirst. The Lord will not spare him. Now, y'all, listen to this. The Lord will not spare him, but then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven, and the Lord shall separate him unto evil out of all the tribes of Israel. Now, folks, come on now. You know, everybody keep talking about God. This is why when you talk to a lot of people in the today, they'll say something like, hold on. All right. So I'm sorry, y'all. I just was trying to make sure I had something straight over there, keeping it together for myself. All right. But the thing that you see is that the Bible tells us that what God says to them, I am going to smoke you if you don't. And what's so funny is this street talk. I mean, when the guys in the gangs and all that will go out to kill somebody, that's what they say. I'm gonna smoke you. God says that the Lord will not spare him, but then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him. God was saying that if you decide, and he's talking to them when they came out of Egypt now, they hadn't done nothing yet. Moses gives them the song, okay, and tells them the blessings. If you do what God says, I'm going to bless you. You don't do what I do, I'm going to curse you. Then Moses says, God is telling me to tell you this. If y'all go in the land, forget those things that the other people have done, and you go after their gods, and you start living like these people live, and start doing the stuff that they're doing. Now, remember what God tells us in Corinthians. Remember what he said? Come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you to myself, and you'll be my sons and my daughters. This is the same God. Okay, now, you know, but this is why many people, you'll listen to them and they'll say, well, the God of the Old Testament and Jesus are two different things. They're not. Same God. Jesus is the only way to protect yourself from this smoke we're talking about. Okay, because God did not change. Jesus did not change, and Jesus didn't say that God changed. Matter of fact, in one place, the Bible says that Jesus would not really deal with any man or allowing them to get too close to him that way because he knew what was in man, the evil imagination of their heart. But God says, I'm going to smoke them. And he says, what people will do is after they hear the word, here comes the word telling you. He said, look at verse 19. And it shall come to pass when he heareth the words of this curse that he bless himself. So in other words, you know how people ride around stuff talking about I'm blessed and blessed and blessed and all that. You're only blessed if God blesses you, okay? But you can't bless yourself. But God says that that's basically what this person does. It don't matter I don't do what the words say. It don't matter I live like I want to live. Don't matter I do it like I want to do it. Don't matter that I imagine it and I do it after my imagination, it's going to be fine. And he says, the person blesses himself by saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of my heart. Okay, so in other words, he's saying that this person, even though what? God has told you what to do. You gonna bless yourself and say, well, you know what? I'm gonna have peace. Well, that's nice that you say that. And you know who this sounds like? It sounds like all of the positive affirmation people out there right now. Okay, I was listening the other day to somebody on YouTube, and this is even on Cox. It was a Cox commercial. They had somebody that was talking about manifesting and things like this, right? They were talking about manifesting. Well, the problem here is that you can't manifest anything that's of God without God's assistance, okay? Yeah, you can't manifest anything that's not God's assistance. You see, anything that gets manifested outside of God's assistance is evil anyway. You don't want to be dealing with that. And they had this Facebook commercial where this kid, and that's what I'm telling you all of this evil, this new age, this demonic stuff, this witchcraft is making its way in the mainstream. So this kid is walking around and he texts his little group about getting over some girl that he's breaking up with. And so then somebody suggests to him that he start manifesting, you know, which is a whole nother term that's being used for becoming one with God and the law of attraction and drawing to yourself what it is that you want by believing that you can do it. Well, folks, that ain't God. But anyway, so ultimately, they keep communicating back and forward. The next thing you know, somebody's levitating, something else is going on. And then all of a sudden he's laying in this bathtub. And you see this bright light come down, and I guess all of a sudden he's connected. Folks, all of that stuff is the evil imagination that God was talking about right here. He says, it's going to come to pass that I done told you, if you do the ways of the people. Look at verse 19 again. Well, let's look at the 18, at 18. Lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turns away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations. Lest there be should among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. And it come to pass when he hears the words of the curse. Now, I've been telling y'all all this time about staying away from astrology and all that other kind of stuff. But he says when he hears the word of the curse, that he bless himself in his heart, saying, it's all right to use horoscopes. It's all right to do astrology. I don't think there's anything wrong with necromancy. No. So you're going to bless yourself in your heart and say, I'm going to have peace. And he says, though I walk in the imagination of my own heart. So in other words, what you're saying is, I know what you're saying, Pastor. I know what the words say. I know what God say, but I'm going to be blessed. Matter of fact, look at the world right now. But God was talking to his people here. He wasn't even talking to the world. He was talking to his people. He says, look, I'm telling y'all, I have told you what's going to happen. And then you're going to say, anyway, I'm blessed. You're going to still go after what they're doing and think I'm going to bless you. You're going to bless yourself. Mm-mm. Go to Deuteronomy 31:21. Because God, that's why the Bible says Jesus already knew what was going on with people. Look at 31:21. This is what he says. And it shall come to pass when many evils and troubles are befallen them, that this song shall testify against them as a witness. For it shall not be forgotten out of the mouth of their seed. For I know their imagination, which they go about even now, before I have brought them into the land which I swear. In other words, God said, I already know what y'all gonna do. Man's heart is filled with evil. They always thinking up stuff that ain't God. And God said, I done told y'all what to do, told you what not to do, told you what's going to happen when you do it, but you're going to do it anyway. I already know it. Look, I mean, this is sad. Look, put that back up there. Look at this verse. And it shall come to pass when many evils and troubles befall them. Now, how many Christians do you hear all the time? I don't know why all this happened to me. I don't understand it. That this song, in other words, the things that Moses had written would testify against them as a witness. In other words, the word of God, every time we're going through a bunch of stuff, the word testifies against us when we want to blame God and say, I don't understand why I'm going through this. Look at what he says next. It's going to be a witness. For it shall not be forgotten out of the mouths of their seed. In other words, we got the word. We ain't forgot it. We got the Bible now. For I know their imagination, which they go about even now before I have brought them into the land which I swear. Now, folks, I want you to think about this. And I'm not trying to be ugly, but you got to think about this. Imagine the slaves back in, I don't know, 1800, whatever the time frame and coming forward, praying and the converted ones for God to just let us go free. God, if we could just go free, we will serve you. I'll make sure my relatives serve you. I'll make sure. Why? Because we were in hard bondage. I'm talking about we was as hard of bondage as the Israelites were in Egypt. Please let us out of this. I mean, you couldn't look up sometime without getting lynched. You couldn't work a whole day for nothing of your own. You were working for other people's stuff all day long, working for somebody else's stuff. And God got us out. got us out. And it's been rough. Yeah, it was rough. Yeah, there are a lot of things that weren't still fair, but we were out. We weren't slaves anymore. And we were serving God. People would tell you all the time, in our community especially, oh, church, oh, you knew no mess with church. And then here we are today. Go and look at the stuff we're doing and what our youth are doing and what is going on. God, go back to verse 21. And people are like, you know, oh, all the violence in the streets and everybody killing everybody. And oh, we don't know how we're going to stop it. And it shall come to pass when many evils and troubles shall befall them, that this song shall testify against them as a witness. For it shall not be forgotten out of the mouth of their seed. Some of us still saying it. For I know their imaginations, which they go about even now, before I have brought them into the land, which I swear. God knew back before we got out of slavery. He saw 2021. You got some people and folks, it's not everybody, and I understand that. But you got some people, you can't even get them to go to work. I mean, it used to be a time that you worked for free for somebody else all day long in the sun. Today, you can't get people to go to work. You got people singing about demons. You got people dancing with the devil. You got people tattooing demons on their skin. People tattooing 666 marks on their skin and talking about the devil like he's something to be praised. People running around with sneakers on with a speck of blood in them and all kind of stupid stuff that does not respect and reverence God. And everybody want to know why evil breaking loose on every side of us. And violence is in the streets and it's just consuming us because it's the same way it was in the day of Noah. God said that man's heart, when God lets him continue on evil, violence everywhere. But especially people who God has shown such kindness to, like he done showed to us, to me. And I think that when that happens, you just look out, you're going to get smoked. Now I want to go to Proverbs chapter 6 and I'm going to end here today. Proverbs chapter 6. We're going to focus on our imaginations. We're going to get this right. Proverbs chapter 6, we're going to look at verse 16 through 18. This is what it says. These six things does the Lord hate. Okay, you see that? He hates them. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. We'll read the rest. Feet that swift in running the blood. But let's stay right there. You see that? That is one of the things that the Lord hates. Put that verse back up there, 18. And heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. All right, so now by now, y'all, and the word wicked, what it means is twisted. It don't just mean, got to be something super, super bad. I'm a murderer. And I know. Twisted, wicked thoughts, thoughts that don't line up with the word, and people end up without excuse. I mean, we got so much Bible out here now. There's so much applications for Bible, so many ways to know the word if we wanted to know. And instead of people running and trying to escape what's coming, they're still spending their time trying to figure out how to move the chairs around on the Titanic. If people haven't figured it out, things are getting worse. They're not getting better. Well, Pastor, you know, you're not helping. I'm trying to help you. What I'm trying to do is help us all. I'm trying to make sure that we are alive to get to Jesus. And when we get to him, we'll hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servants. That's where we're trying to go when it's all over. Because if not, folks, we're going to find ourselves in a really bad place. Now, I want to say this. What we're going to do next is we're going to move into a point now where we start talking, and we'll do that next Sunday, where we start talking about, okay, Pastor, we got it. All right, we believe that our imaginations can get us in trouble. And we believe that God has a problem with wicked imaginations. God said that he hates that. And we don't want to be anywhere near anything God hates. So what we're going to try to do is to figure out what do we need to do to begin to exercise our imaginations in such a way that when it's over, we get what we want. Folks, I'm telling you today, everything that we have set up in here right now started in my thoughts and in my imagination. I saw it. And it was like, yes, we could do this, 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 this. And then we just had to implement. We just had to go to the church, grab the equipment we needed, get the right things, make sure we had it all, each piece, bring it back, put it together just like it was in my head. And then bam, when your imagination is trained and you can see and you're not doing things God don't want you doing with it and you untwist it, all kind of things can come through. You know, I thought to myself, you know, something had happened, and I told Sister Lori, I didn't know how I was going to do it. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, as we were riding, I saw it in my mind. And I said, oh, man, I didn't think of that? And then I thought to myself, well, you just did. So point is, I hadn't thought about it beginning, but I thought about it. God gave me a thought. I had a thought. And guess what? And then I could see it in my imagination. So what we're going to realize is that one of the things that James said is that when it comes to sin, and I said I was going to end here, but I got to make sure I tie this with James said. Well, we see James saying that what? That the way this thing works is it conceives. And then it brings forth sin. Right, let me just go there right quick. I still got a minute. I got a little time. I'm going to go, let me see. Yeah, I got a little time. I want to go over here. Yeah, I got a little time. Let's go to James. All right. James chapter 1, verse 13. And it says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. All right, so I want you to think about this. When you look at these scriptures that James is saying, he's telling us that when temptation comes, don't think it came from God. Okay, let's put up 13. All right, let no man say when he's tempted. All right, in other words, something is coming at me, a thought to try to, that we know is not God because it's evil. Never say you're tempted of God. Just put that aside. That's just a lie. It ain't got nothing to do with God. Because people say all the time, why God let this happen? It ain't God. For God can't be tempted with evil, neither does he tempt any man. All right. Next verse. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. That's the evil imagination. See, but what's going on with your thoughts and your evil imagination? He says what? That's when you are drawn away. See, and you got to know when you're being drawn away, because when you're drawn away, if you're not careful, you get enticed. And then conception takes place. And let's look at the next verse, verse 15. See, because verse 15 says, then when lust hath conceived. So in other words, lust doesn't, it has to conceive before sin. See, lust is an inordinate desire, a desire you shouldn't have. But if you look at that, there's no sin yet until you let that thing conceive. All right, now, I want you to understand this conception process then. An evil thought cannot conceive until it hooks up with your imagination. Okay? You know, in other words, it's just like men and women having babies. They can look at each other all day long. That does not produce babies. All right? There's no conception going to take place, no matter how crazy their thoughts are. It's not going to happen. It does not happen that way. Conception must take place. So they have to come together. So in other words, when you have evil thoughts or things that are coming up, what you have to do is to train your imagination to shift. Because if they hook up, you're going to conceive. And once conception comes, you can forget it. So you have to be able to train your imagination to know what to run from and what to pull back from. This is why when I said like this, where I was able to get this set up and it came to my mind, well, I knew that was fine. You can let it through, because when it conceives, it doesn't bring forth death. It brings forth life. It brings forth what you need. It brings forth the right thing. God designed it that way. But because man allows his imagination to run off on evil things all the time, because Satan is, you know, always tempting him with something. And if he chooses not to trust God, or he chooses to do what God said the Israelites would do, in other words, they go through the nations. And see, here was the problem. They go through these nations and they see these people having a great time. I mean, look at their life. I mean, they do all kind of stuff. They basically, they doing seances and astrology and necromancy and partying and hooking up with who they want and having whatever kind of sex they want, any kind of sex. It doesn't matter. It, you know, all good. Everything is great and wonderful. The bottom line is that they're having a great time. And God's like, that ain't great. That's evil. And you need to not entertain that. But instead, they allow their imagination to say, I don't believe that. I'm going to have peace and I'm going to be blessed. Oh, okay. You believe that. Well, God said he going to smoke you. And the bottom line is we need to understand that, because in Jeremiah, he said, once I make a decision like the potter, I am the potter. I got you in my hands. Y'all can understand it. And if you watch a potter with a wheel, when they find that mark, I mean, they literally raise their hands and smash it. And so you don't want to be in that situation. And since we know how God feels about it, then what we're going to do is start moving now toward the idea of how do I control my imagination and what has God said? And this is nothing voodoo about this, folks. See, this is what I try to get people across to understand. And that is that what you're going to have to do is reach a place where you realize that God is very, very simple with us. It's Satan that has all these extras and all these kind of strange things. You know, you need some crystals, or you need some incense, or you need to close your eyes and empty your mind. And you need to start meditating in a way where you get a cadence going. And you need to, none of that did Jesus teach. None of it. And since Jesus didn't teach none of it, I don't want nothing to do with it. God is very, very plain. God is concerned about your heart. Do you want to meet God or not? Do you want to deal with God or not? All you got to do is pray and stay in your habitation. See, some of these habitations belong to demons. See, that's why some of these devils angels are in hell now, the Bible says, are locked up in Hades waiting on judgment, because the Bible says they left their habitation. See, their habitation was the heavenlies. They came down, habitated with women. God said, wrong. You can't do that. Bam, lock you up. What we're trying to do many times is in reverse. You know, we are flesh. We have a spirit. Yes, we do. And we should pray. But Jesus told us how to pray. This is what you say. Our Father, and you know, you do have you decide to use it and deal with that. But here's the framework. And nowhere did he say, find a closet other than go into your closet and don't be praying in front of everybody to try to be seen. But he didn't say, go in your closet, make it really dark, try to empty your mind. And then that's not what he did. Teach us to pray, Lord. Okay, here's what you do. And he told us. And he said, don't get caught up in vain repetitions like the heathen do. Don't this, don't that. Stick with God. And folks, I'm telling you, those simple prayers, that simple childlike approach to God will keep you on top, keep you with the power in your life, keep you moving forward. And when it's all over, you are going to be able to show people what it means to walk in the power of the Spirit of God, to be able to do what it is that God called you to do in life. So look, we're going to get ready to go ahead and close. I'm excited about the fact that God allowed us to be together today. I hope that more of you out there get an opportunity to see it, that, you know, if you're tied up with some things. Again, remember what we said. If you were impacted by the hurricane and you need some assistance, let us know. At the same time, just either send us an email at the church, or you can do that by either just going on the contact page and you can send us the your request. If you have any prayer requests, you can do that too. Just continue to keep everybody in prayer, and then we will do what we can. If you need to, also don't remember to call us, 225-359-6936, and leave a message, and we'll do whatever we can to get back to you. So we're going to go ahead and pray before we close, and then we're going to let you guys go and have a good Sunday. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you again for the opportunity to come into your house. We thank you for the word of God, and we thank you for all your people that are online. I thank you for their continued support, and I thank you and ask that you would continue to help them to grow in their knowledge of the word of God and continue to bless them in all that they do. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.